Good morning, everyone. Great to be here this morning. Great to be speaking to you. Now, I know that we all like to make our talks interactive, don't we? I know I do. And so sometimes I get the sense that you're itching to respond during a talk, but you're not quite sure how to. So this morning, I thought I'd help you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I have put some words up on the screen, which if you wanted to, you could read them out. So let's have a practice. When it's on a white background with black writing, that means that you can read it. Okay, here we go. Very good. You're awake. This is a little bit like the Anglicans have liturgy. It's not quite the same, but this is my version. So here we go. Ah, thank you very much. I'm very much looking forward to speaking to you this morning. Yes, it is. Thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. I appreciate it. Also, what do you think of the haircut? Oh, there we go. And do you like the shoes as well? Okay. We'll leave that bit of the talk there this morning. But if any more pop up, do be on your toes. So do you like at the start of 24 or something? It says previously on 24, or previously on Homeland, or whatever it is. This is previously on Ashwood Church Sunday morning. We remember, Claire's already reminded us, Mum spoke very well last week. If you didn't hear it, you could listen to the podcast. But we were thinking about some of the ways that we can worship God. We can sing, we can shout, we can raise our hands, we can bow, we can kneel, we can dance, and we can do our best in all of these things, can't we? So Mum was very good last week. So yes, do listen to it. And the first part of what I'm going to speak about this morning requires these. It's 168 Maltesers. Here they are. Are you ready? So I thought we all like a bit of Maltesers. And can anyone work out why we've got 168 Maltesers? There are exactly 168. Ah, Matt has got an idea. I think you are right. What is it?
Is it the number of hours in a week?
It is, that's right. 168 is 24 times 7, which is the number of hours in a week. So I've got one Malteser to represent each hour of the week. There we go. I had planned to do a Malteser for each minute of the week, because that's about how long it takes to eat a Malteser, isn't it? Which would have been 24 times 7 times 60, which is, anybody? 10,080 Maltesers, which sadly we couldn't find a big enough bowl for that. It sounds like a Matt Redman song, doesn't it? 10,080 Maltesers. So we're going to stick with 168 Maltesers. So I don't know about you, but I often like to share out my Maltesers. When I'm sharing them out, I'm going to share out the hours of the week as I share out my Maltesers between me and God. This is my bowl here. This is God's bowl here. It's slightly smaller than my bowl. So this is how I sometimes do it. I don't know about you, but sometimes I go, right then, God, here you go. You can have three. There's my Sunday morning. You can have those three, Lord. I think I'm just going to need that one there. That's an hour on Facebook. That one's mine. There's another hour on Facebook. There it goes. So that's sometimes how I do it. Sometimes I might say, God, you can have, here's a couple of hours, here's life group. But then I'm going to be needing quite a few. Here's when I go to work, so I'm going to be needing those ones there. And then here's the ones where I go to sleep. I'm going to be needing those as well. And there's something quite good on telly, so I'm going to be needing those. Yes. I was two stuck together there. I don't know what that means. And yeah, here's one.
What?
That's not. I didn't mean that. Anyway, I literally didn't. I don't know what's going on. To the pure, all things are pure. So anyway, there we go. So sometimes we end up splitting them a little bit. Like, there's a bit of quiet time for God. Here's a little bit of me time for me. Here's perhaps a nice candlelit bath that I need, or something like that. So we end up kind of sharing them out like this. But this morning I want to remind us that maybe the way we should do it is we should actually have them all in God's bowl. What do you think? Because even though sometimes we're at church and sometimes we're elsewhere. Oh! Sorry, I love those ones. There we go. 2 second rule. If you're fussy, those ones have gone in there. But really, all the Maltesers were God's in the first place. They all came from him. They're all a gift from God, and God wants to share them all with us. So we don't need to separate out our Maltesers, do we? But that said, shall I pass around the Maltesers? Would anyone like a Malteser while I'm finishing my talk? We don't need them anymore. So there we go. How shall we pass them around? You can pass those around. I don't know, it's probably enough for one each, and then if we go around again. So anyway, this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about whole life worship. I'm going to be speaking just for a few minutes, then David's going to take over. And I want to speak about two verses in the Bible, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. They're good. If you want to find them in your Bible, you can do, otherwise they'll appear on the screen. But we're looking at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans is a book that was written by Paul to the people who lived in Rome. That's why it's called Romans. And here we go. So this is from the NIV. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." It goes on to say, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So I just want to speak for a few moments about these two verses in the Bible. They're two of my favorite verses. And there's so much that we could think about here, isn't there? So the first bit of this verse says, "In view of God's mercy." And it starts with a therefore, and it's always dangerous to start your quote with a therefore, because it really means because of everything I've already said, and I haven't got time to go back through Romans chapter 1 to 11. But Paul's really talking about the goodness of God and the amazing, extravagant grace of God, the mercy of God. And so it's worth going back to read it. But in a sense, everything that we do can be our reminder of the goodness of God. Some of the songs that we sing at church, they might remind us of the goodness of God. Sometimes last week we sang, "Praise the one who made an end to all my sin." And when I sing something like that, I kind of go, "Oh yeah, I'm excited." Do you ever go, "I'm excited"? It says, "Praise." He said he made an end to all my sin. It doesn't say he made an end to most of it, some of it, a little bit of it. He made an end to all of it. So I get excited. Sometimes we sing, "You never stop loving us, no matter how far we run." And that's good news as well, isn't it? I get excited. Or just when I read something in the Bible or something good happens to me, I can go, "Thank you, God, that's your goodness." And really, the in view of God's mercy is really the fact that God is the one who starts our worship. It's not us who starts it. It's God who starts it with his goodness and his grace. So all our worship really is a response to God. Somebody said revelation is the fuel for worship. And the more that we know about God, the more we know about his character, the more we know about who he is, what he does, we respond to God in worship. We respond to God with a wow of worship. Is that okay? Great. I'm going to whiz through these. We're going to have a whistle-stop tour through this passage. The next bit, take your everyday, ordinary life. And in the Message version of the Bible, how are the Maltesers doing? Have you already been that far? It's not looking good for you guys over here. Sorry about that. Oh, they split the bowl. Phew. You're okay. You're okay, guys. They split the bowl. We're all right. So the Message version of the Bible puts this passage in Romans 12 like this. It says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." So that's good, isn't it? I love this bit about the fact. Oh, we'll come to that in a minute. The fact that it's an everyday, ordinary life that we live. And sometimes we think that worship is the bit we do on a Sunday morning. And hopefully we're trying not to think like that. But occasionally we slip into this way of thinking. And sometimes we might think, it would be easier to worship God if we were always in church meetings. Do you think that's true? Some of us would like that. Some of us would not like it so much. But if we were constantly singing worship songs to God on a Sunday morning, that would be our thing. I quite like singing songs, so I would enjoy that for a little while. But really, Paul's saying instead, maybe the better thing is we rethink the ordinary things. We rethink our perspective on them, and we recognize that they're also all worship. So Eugene Peterson, who's the guy who translated or paraphrased the Message Bible, said this: worship should be a renewal of work, not an escape from our work. So really, worship is about changing the way that we look at our lives. How do you feel about that? So taking your everyday, ordinary life, what would that look like for you? It might not change massively all the things that you're doing in your week. You might find yourself doing a lot of the same things. You might still find yourself going to work. You might still find yourself picking the kids up from school. You might still find yourself making tea. But we can do those things with an awareness of God's presence, can't we? And in the same way as we can go through our week looking forward to a Sunday morning praise gathering all together, we can go through our Sunday morning looking forward to praising God in the week as well, can't we? Okay, so that's my second point. The next point is about being living sacrifices. Paul says this: offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay? So living sacrifices. That's kind of in contrast to all the dead sacrifices that we read about in the Old Testament. And Mum mentioned this last week. I'm glad that we don't do that kind of worship anymore. It would be a bit of a mess, wouldn't it? And I'm not sure I would be up to the animal slaughter required. It's not suitable for vegetarians, is it, the Old Testament, in that way? But it's the kind of sacrifice Paul's talking about here isn't the kind of sacrifice that's about forgiving sins. That's Jesus was that sacrifice for us, wasn't he? That once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. But he's talking about a fragrant offering of worship to God, something that we choose to bring. And sacrifice is a costly business, isn't it? You know, if you sacrifice something, it's going to cost you something. And maybe that's the difficult part about it, isn't it? Somebody once said, the problem with living sacrifices is they keep getting up off the altar. Do you ever find that? And when God is called, it's all very well, and it's quite easy sometimes to sing, Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. But at the point when it costs us something, we feel like it's going to cost something. We end up like this guy, don't we? Oh, but that's mine. It's my precious. I'm not going to do the impression too much in case you're a little bit scared. Do you know, I couldn't sleep after the first Lord of the Rings film. It was very scary. So we won't do too much of that. But it's hard sometimes to let it go, isn't it? When we wrestle with these things, I think sin in our lives isn't so much about not killing people. Most of us haven't killed anyone. It's often to do with tackling selfishness in our lives, isn't it? The fact that we're at the center. Sin is a three-letter word with I in the middle of it. And if we're wanting to sin less, I think we need to be thinking of ourselves less. Does that make sense? So, let's try and be living sacrifices, and that would be good. I'm whizzing through, aren't I? Here we go. The next point is be transformed. And I'm going to begin with a little story that I think we all enjoy. It's the story of this guy. Here he is. He's the very hungry caterpillar. I've got the book here, if anyone wants to read it. Spoiler alert, if you don't know the end of this story, look away now, because I am going to ruin the end for you. So here we go, the very hungry caterpillar. One day he ate through one apple, two pears, three plums, four strawberries, five oranges, and then he eats through, on the sixth day, he eats through loads of other stuff. There it all is. Looks good, doesn't it? And then after that, he had some salad. So you do that, don't you, to make yourself feel better. If you ate too much stuff, you have a little bit of salad. So that was the very hungry caterpillar. And then here he is. He's not so little anymore. He's a big, fat caterpillar. And we all know what happens next. He makes a cocoon around himself. There it is, the cocoon. Who enjoys the word cocoon? Shall we say it together? One, two, three, cocoon. Oh, yeah. Feels good, doesn't it? And this is the exciting climax to the story of the very hungry caterpillar. We're on the final page now. And as we all know what happens, he comes out of the cocoon and he is a slightly different caterpillar. There he is. He's almost the same as he was before, but he's slightly different. He's a bit of a hipster now. He's got a tash. So is that right? Is that how the story goes? No, that's not how the story goes. He's transformed, isn't he? Yay! Woo! He's beautiful. He's completely different. And that, I think, is the transformation that Paul is talking about, the renewing of our minds. He's not talking about us having minds that are slightly different, that think the same kind of thoughts as we used to think, but just with a sprinkling of Christian on them. Do you think that's the kind of life that Paul's talking about? And the word for transformation is the same as the word for metamorphosis, which is what happens to the caterpillar when he becomes something completely different. So let's try and be transformed. The message puts it like this: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And that's a really good way of putting it, isn't it? I think a lot of us would like to change our thoughts, but it's quite hard to change your thoughts just by trying, isn't it? But if instead we fix our attention on God, then we'll find ourselves having different thoughts, won't we? And here's a tweet that I read. I love a bit of Twitter. Several of those hours were Twitter hours. So Alan Scott, who's a guy from Ireland, tweeted this prayer that's a good way to start your day. Father, you are going to do some amazing things today throughout the earth. Would you give me the privilege of being part of one of them? So that's a good way to kind of shift our perspective on the day, isn't it? And yeah, so you're still with me? Oh, thanks. Thanks, guys. It's the last one of those. There were many more, but me and Zoe agreed that there were slightly too many. So here's the last point. What does God want? When we love God, we want to please God, don't we? I love Mum's example last week of wanting to understand what our loved ones want. It was brilliant, wasn't it? And when we love God, we want to do what he wants. And so sometimes we try and put ourselves in a position of thinking, what does God want? What's the will of God? And Paul, in the Message translation, it says this: readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. So who would like to know the will of God this morning? Anybody? Yes, me too. Me too. And sometimes when we start off with a question, we say, God, what's your will? We're really asking the question, what's your will for me? What job should I have? Who should I marry? What should I have for tea? Which parking space should I go in? All of these things, the will of God specifically to us. But maybe we need to expand our view of the will of God to just what does God want? What's the things that God wants throughout the world? And then we can kind of find where our place is in that. And so in the Old Testament, there are some prophets who speak on God's behalf. And I just thought I'd read a few things about what they say about what God wants. So here's Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, or sometimes it says, O man and woman, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So that's kind of a very big picture view of what God wants from us. In the Message, it says it like this, which I also like. I'm not going to read everything in two translations. It will take twice as long. But this is the last one, I think. He's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. So I like the way it says that it's quite simple. It doesn't mean it's easy, but it is quite simple. So there we go. When we're talking about being living sacrifices, we have to lay down our pride, our desire for recognition, our desire to always seem to be right, be seen to be right even, our desire to be always in control. And we have to say to God, that's your job now. Here's another bit from the Old Testament, Isaiah. I'm not going to read all of this, but Isaiah is talking about the kind of fasting that God is looking for. He's talking about loosing the chains of injustice, untying the cords of the yoke, set the oppressed free, sharing your food with the hungry, providing the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see them naked, clothe them, not turning away from your own flesh and blood. So there's some challenges there for us, aren't there? And sometimes these are the parts of the Bible that we don't always read on a Sunday morning. But if you look throughout the Bible, they're always in there again and again. God's talking about his concern for justice, his concern for the poor. And these things need to be our concerns as well, I think. And here's the worship leader's favourite verse from Amos. Set in a particular context. But Amos 5, 21 to 24. When the Israelites had gone a little bit wrong, and they were still doing some of the right things, but their hearts were far from God, and there was injustice around. God said this: I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Ooh, crikey. I will, even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring me choice fellowship offerings, I have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. Some of us have been there on a Sunday morning as well, possibly. I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. And so I think the thing that that's telling me is that some of this justice stuff that we talk about isn't really optional. And we can't very easily do the Sunday morning stuff unless we are taking seriously the things that God wants in the rest of our lives as well. So there we go. So we're thinking about what God wants, and just practically, what would that look like, living with a concern for justice? It might look like it might affect some of our buying decisions. It might affect the way that we view other people. It might involve us buying a fair trade banana, possibly. It might involve us getting involved in charity, getting involved in campaigning for justice. It might involve us looking at all areas of our lives. It might affect the way we vote. It might affect the way we use our homes. It might affect the way we use the stuff in our kitchen cupboards. And it might affect, as I've said, the things that we spend our money on, spend our time on. Because if we are wanting to please God, then these are some of the things that matter to God. But I'm not really trying to give you a shopping list of things that you should do. I'm not sort of seeking to spike the sales of fair trade bananas in Morrison's after this morning. But really, it's about doing it out of a love for God, isn't it? Doing what we can to show that God's important to us. So, just summing up, whole life worship, we talked about in view of God's mercy, taking our everyday, ordinary life, offering it as a living sacrifice. We want our minds to be transformed, don't we? And we find that then our thoughts are God's thoughts, and our concerns are God's concerns. Our passions are God's passions. And that's something that is an ongoing process. So we should be finding that last year my thoughts were different to how they are this year, because my mind is still being transformed. And I've still certainly got quite a way to go on this. And then we'll discover what God wants from us. Okay, so that's me done. Let's hand over to David. Here we go.
Well, good morning, everyone. What I want to do just for a few moments is basically reinforce what Matt said and sung this morning, what Claire said and what other people have contributed, and also, as Paul has very well put, to reinforce worship in the way in which we live our lives. So my first slide this morning is entitled Worship is our purpose. To start with, I just want to define what purpose is. Well, it's a person's sense of resolve or determination. If you're determined to do something, then basically you get on and do it. And every day of every life, of every lifetime and every life that we live, in all walks there is a purpose and should be a purpose. So what we're doing, what are we achieving? The time, the effort that we're developing or deploying to achieve our purpose. So at work, we're driven in respect to our purpose at work. At school, we are driven to achieve our purpose. Now, we're all, who are at school at the minute, on a different year. We've got different priorities. Can you believe it? Joseph left school last Tuesday. Zach's currently doing his A-levels. There are other people around the place that are working up to certain things. And there is a purpose. There is a resolve to get these things done. That's in our home, in our church. And there are a number of things that actually underpin our purpose. So let's take a look at them. So on the next slide, these are some facts. And I say that they're facts because I think a lot of us will in here this morning believe that we were created to worship. That worship is our wholehearted response to God. And we were called to worship. So we were created to worship. We can worship at different levels. We can worship through creation. We can give thanks for our families. When we wake up in the morning, I mean, and I'll just last week I was over in Dublin for a conference, and this place was actually set what I believe was a wood, and the actual entrance was covered with trees. And every morning I'd go for a walk. And I know I took time to do it, and, you know, I'm not going to say anymore because Joe was dealing with the kids at home and all that sort of stuff. But I was able to give thanks to God for his creation. And that's one way that we can worship. We can worship through our families, give thanks for our families, spend time with our families in reading the Bible, in worshiping, in praying. I was talking to Dave Ritson a few weeks ago, and he said, can you send me a few links to me in respect to the songs that we're singing? Because I want to start singing some of these songs with the kids at home to reinforce what worship is all about. We were created to worship through church and in church, and having that special relationship with the one who provided us with an exit from the old things to freedom. When we sing songs that talk about liberty, actually, just remember that as you talk or sing about liberty, I think about the freedom. Liberty equals freedom that God gives to each and every one. And one of the old songs that we used to sing was, it was for freedom that Christ has set us. Okay. Some of the young people might not know that, but it was a really good song at that point in time. And we're rejoicing in God's victory, the victory of the cross and the resurrection. So that brings us neatly on to worship is our wholehearted response to God. Worship is 24/7. Worship should be 24/7, but as we've just seen with the Maltesers, which have now sort of been consumed, we attempt and we try our best to do things 24/7. And what we pray and what we ask God for is the ability to do that. So we were and we are called to worship. In Mark 12, Jesus said, the first in importance is, the Lord your God is one. So love God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and enemy and energy even. It does say energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. So, worship is our purpose. The second thing is, worship is a priority. In our busy lives, we have a number of priorities to deal with. School runs, going to school, going to work, dealing with deadlines, going to meetings on time, running a home, dealing with things. In our home, the priorities, as you can see on the picture, sometimes get a little bit blurred, as we've already talked about. iPods, iPads, Xboxes, PS4s. Enjoying the things that we love. But, and also, and I forgot to say, a work-life balance. Ensuring that our life is spent both with family and also with work. So what are our priorities? Maybe just for a couple of seconds, let's just stand up, turn around and say to the person next to you, what are your priorities at the moment? Go. Okay, everybody, sit down, please. Everybody, sit down. Okay, so I'll tell you what our priority for worship should be. A response to what we value most. Worship first, service second. We were called to worship. So, who do we value most? Worship first, service second. So, because we've got God who created all and is in all, and for the blessings that he freely gives, we should worship him with all our hearts, minds, souls, and this should motivate us to just get on and do that. There are times when we're down and we're in desperation. There are times when we're depressed. There are times when we just don't know where to turn. As you know, a few years ago, from a personal perspective, my dad died. And one Sunday morning, very soon after that, I led worship and God spoke to me as I was leading that song, which is In the Name of the Father, where it talks about mourning, not mourning as in breakfast, but mourning as in sadness, turns to songs of praise. And at that point, actually God moved me on even further. And I would encourage anyone here this morning that is sad, that is mourning, that is at desperation's point, God can change you. You've got to ask for that through prayer, through people encouraging you. But mourning can turn to songs of praise. Desperation can turn to joy. I want to encourage you to take hold of those words, mourning, songs of joy, in a personal way. Let's make our worship to God a priority, because the evidence is there for all to see, to experience and to live. Just going back to worship and service, Mary and Martha, a very interesting story in Luke chapter 10, where Mary and Martha had got Jesus as their visitor. And as they continued their travel, Jesus entered a village. A woman by the name of Martha welcomed him and made him feel quite at home. She had a sister, Mary, who sat before the master, hanging on every word he said, but Martha was pulled away by all that she had in the kitchen to do. Later she stepped in, interrupting them. "Master, don't you care that my sister has abandoned the kitchen to me? Tell me to lend me a hand." The master said, "Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing, only one thing is essential, and Mary has chosen it. It's the main course. It's actually the main course that won't be taken away from her." Mary and Martha both loved and respected Jesus. On this occasion, they were both serving. Both of them were serving. Martha, however, thought Mary's style of serving was inferior to hers. She didn't realise that in her desire to serve, she was actually neglecting Jesus. Question. for all of us? Are we busy doing things for Jesus, however, not spending any time with him? Don't let your service become self-serving. So, moving on, worship the Lord with what? We're called to worship through every part of our life. A few pictures that actually depict times when I can worship, pray, worship in the times, worship through creation, and very interestingly, a rainbow. And what I just want to just share with you are three reassuring promises that God gave Noah. Never again will a flood do such destruction. As long as the earth remains, the seasons will always come as expected, and a rainbow will be visible when it rains as a sign to all that God keeps his promises. So when we see that rainbow, remember, even in the low or the high, God keeps his promises. Is that worth worshipping? The earth's order and seasons are still preserved, and rainbows still remind us of what God's faithfulness, or still remind us of God's faithfulness to his word. Just finally then, worship is about God's presence. Worship is about a relationship. Okay, could Benji and Eden stand up, please? Benji and Eden are good friends with each other. Could Matt and Claire stand up? Matt and Claire are married and have a relationship with each other. Okay. Could Pam and Gary stand up? Pam and Gary are grandma and grandpa or whatever. Okay. Who's an aunt and an uncle? Okay. If Alison and... That's great, thank you. Nieces and nephews. Any nieces and nephews in the house? I'm sure there are lots. Anyway, you know who you are. Boyfriends and girlfriends. Any in the house? Okay, they're not telling us, but I'm sure there are. Okay, so we've gone through friends. God the Spirit. Boyfriends, girlfriends, husbands, wives, God the Father. Grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, God the Son, nieces and nephews. We recognise around the place, yes, you can sit down now, thank you, that each of us is in or has a relationship with each other. Do we, however, recognise that we have a personal relationship with God the Father, with God the Son, with God the Holy Spirit? Worship is a gift. Worship is a gift, and at times we may not have opened that parcel on worship, because the gift that God gives us to worship is absolutely brilliant. Who loves presents? As in these type of presents. I'd quite like a couple of ozoners to come out, if that's possible. A boy and a girl. Quickly. Run. Come on. Quick. Anybody else? Go on, Aaron. Yeah, come on. Okay. So Stephen and Lauren, take it out the package, because presents are blue and pink, yeah? What do you think about that? So, okay, there is an expectancy. What will it be? The excitement builds. Come on. The excitement builds. What on earth is in here? Yeah, go, yeah, keep going. What is it going to be? Is it going to be a pair of shoes? No. Okay, who's opening the top? The excitement is getting even higher. A little bit in there, that's it, that can go out. And guess what? A box of Maltesers! And we didn't even confer on that, Paul. So, worship, you can open those and share them around, but I don't think they'll go around everybody, so maybe you can just be selective. Okay, if people want to sit down then, thank you. So, worship is a gift. Worship changes us and the world. If you remember a few months ago when Kate Walton got baptised and then she gave a testimony, Kate put on loads of coats, if you recall. Loads and loads of different coats. And that very moving testimony I was reminded of when she actually took certain layers of these coats off because they were actually holding her back in life in general and just weighing her down. And at times, our worship does not actually reflect anything of our life. But what we need to do is to start stripping away some of those things that are stopping us from worshipping. Worship to God can change us and change the world, the communities we live in. Acts of kindness, a smile, a helping hand, an invitation. At the swimming pool, talking to people. I had a really good conversation with somebody yesterday at the swimming pool. On the street, God should be in everything that we do. If you want to, okay, I thought that picture of the two cats was absolutely brilliant. Worship is about relationship. Worship is a gift. Worship changes us and the world. Why should worship be central? Well, why should worship be central? Because it's a relationship between us and God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:16 and 17. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read from 17, which says, "Everything you say and everything you do should all be done for Jesus your Lord. And in all you do, give thanks to God the Father through Jesus." Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Worship is not just for church services, as we've already discovered. We are told to worship Him continually and praise Him from sunrise to sunset. This is the secret to a lifestyle of worship, doing everything as if you were doing it for Jesus. God wants all of you. God doesn't want part of your life. He asks for all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And God is not interested in half-hearted commitment, partial obedience, and the leftovers of your time and money. He desires full devotion, not the little bits. So, to conclude, even though I said that 10 minutes ago, worship is our purpose. Worship must be a priority. Worship is who we are, where we are, what we're doing. Worship the Lord in everything. And finally, and most importantly, it's about finding God's presence in whatever we are doing. I know it's 12 o'clock, or it's past 12, but what I want us to do, I just want to ask us three questions in respect to our response to what has been said this morning. Are we willing, able, are we offering everything to God? Are we putting Jesus at the centre? Are we transforming? Are we changing our minds in order? You could just change the next one, Paul. Thanks, Zoe. These pictures enable me to sort of put what I've said into five pictures, that Jesus be the centre of my life, that the cross stands above it all, and it's 24/7, 365 days a year. And if you've got really good eyesight, it says, one hope, one deliverer, saviour reigning high above it all. Psalm 95 says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, because He is our God. And we worship Him. Jesus at the centre of my life. Jesus at the centre of your life. One hope, one deliverer, Saviour reigning high above it all. Are we ready to respond to God? If we are, let's just stand together. If we're in a position of despair, of sadness, of mourning, let's just offer that to God right now and just say, God, turn that mourning into songs of praise. Mourning into songs of praise. Come on. Transforming our minds, Lord. Changing our attitudes in respect to what we do, when we do it, where we do it. Dear Lord, You are our God. You are whom we want to worship. You are the one that is our purpose, that is our driver. And in all this, Lord, we just pray that You will just change our minds, change our hearts right now. So, dear Lord, our prayer is this morning that as we rise, that as we rest, that as we go, that Christ is all around us.